Good morning. It's 7:18 a.m. on Saturday, July the 25th, 2020. I'm apparently hiking right along this morning because first mile seemed to have gone really, really fast. Anyway, here I am. I'm out. I'm walking. Moving. I'm hoping the sun stays behind the cloud for another 20 minutes. I don't know that it's going to, but I can hope. It peaked out for a couple of minutes, and what it did to the temperature was astonishing. So it's behind the clouds, it's behind the clouds, it's behind the clouds, and it comes out and it's shining directly on my back. And it's like, what was a comfortably cool morning was suddenly Broiler City. Oh God, it was, and it wasn't, I mean, I'm sure it wasn't that bad, but the difference, the contrast in difference was, in temperature was, it's pretty shocking. It goes back behind the cloud. Looks like it might. The cloud cover is about, the official Weather Service cloud cover estimate is octals. And it's about, well, I'm gonna estimate it at about 60 octals. Might be a little more. So 60% of the sky has cloud in it. It may be more like 70. But there are these large open fissures in the cloud cover. Some very high cumulus clouds. I think they're cumulostratus. Anyway, it's a beautiful morning. It is quite lovely. I've been up a little more than an hour. I got up around 6. Tried to get out at 6:30, but couldn't quite pull myself away from doom scrolling. I got some toast, I got some coffee, I got some updates from the war zones, and managed to pull my head out of my butt and get moving. Nose is running. I don't know why my nose runs when I walk. Runs when I eat hot food, but that's understandable. At any rate, progress. Yesterday was Cape Grace Day. Well, not Cape Grace Day. It was Finwell Bay, Troy Harbor Day, Shaman Sales Day. I spent 2 or 3 solid hours working, massaging, joining up the pieces. I split a few pieces apart just so I could see what the pieces were. And made some good progress in terms of starting to carve the actual story out of the dross. Having the pieces in order and discovering that I had what I thought was in order wasn't actually, and that one of the pieces that I thought needed to be there was actually a complete and absolute remake of one that I'd already had in Cape Grace. I'd actually taken that scene entirely and plugged it into Cape Grace. So yeah, that scene could go away because it was much earlier in the timeline. Sniff, sniff, snort. So then I discovered that what I had left for timeline didn't work. I had to start shuffling dates again. Yeah. hear a voice. I don't see anybody. So I got in it, dug in it, until I discovered that I was creating more errors than I was fixing. So I put it down. But I made some really solid progress yesterday. I also discovered that the book that I thought was 140,000 words is only 105. It may be shorter once I get the duplicated sections out of it. Oh, jogger's coming up behind me. They're still quite a good ways behind me. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to navigate this traffic issue here. I think what I'm going to do is step off to the side. I'll let them run by. Morning. Them half the street. Make this guy stop at the stop sign. Good morning. See, I made good progress yesterday. What I didn't do is read yesterday, did I? No, I read some. Now, I'm reading an urban fantasy. And I'm going to power through it. There are a couple of things in it that really bug me. And I'm not a big angels and demons guy. Angels and demons are right up there with zombies and shifters. It's like, really? Because almost inevitably, they are either sterile instantiations of archetype, or I don't know, human with wings, powers. I will confess, I had the same problem with Lucifer. I really did not care for this idea that angels and demons sort of walked among us. But I enjoyed it, I think, as much for the writing and the almost the cartoonish characterizations. I know that sounds contradictory, but I don't know. Anyway, I'm reading a book with angels and demons. And so there's this angels and demons factor that are, it's like, okay, this wasn't really what I... This isn't really a subcat that I'm happy with, that I like to read. And then layered on top of it is... how do I put it? Really badly formatted. So the author has avoided the usual conflation of dialogue tags and action tags, which is real common, but hasn't really understood, oh, I'm coming up on it, get ready, say it with me, monk pose, hasn't really understood that if somebody says something and the response is an action from another character, that other character's reaction should be in a paragraph of its, on its own. It should be in the next paragraph. And it's particularly true if the character does something and then speaks. That should be in a paragraph of its own. And what I'm coming across, like, almost universally, is that one character will say something, and a character will respond with an action. And then the next paragraph is what that character says that should be with the action that came incorrectly in the paragraph before. And every time that happens, which is basically every conversation, every time that happens, it goes, ugh, in my head. So it's a bit of a problem. And I think it's a function of not understanding how text lays on a page in order to tell the story that you needed to tell in a way that the reader can comprehend without having to do mental gymnastics to figure out, wait a minute, who is that, this said that? Well, how did that work? So it's really well done. I mean, the language, the writing, the story's a bit hackneyed, but any Angel's Eye, I have to be careful when I say that, because for Angels and Demons fans, this is probably pretty cool. I'm not an Angels and Demons fan, so that's coloring everything that happens in this book. The formatting is just mechanics. The formatting is just not understanding how this is supposed to work. I'm enjoying the story for I'm eating it where it is. I mean, it's like this is a new writer. I'm gonna say young writer. Is it? It's a new writer. Somebody who is engaged in self-publishing and new to it, and not quite understanding how spacing, formatting actually works. I had a couple of pages that were centered. For example, it's like, okay, this is clearly a problem. And I had one page that was double spaced. Starting about halfway down the page, it was double spaced for I think like two paragraphs, and then went back to being single spaced again. So it's clearly somebody who's still struggling with the mechanics of self-publishing. The story itself is, the language is interesting, because the language is, people with dogs here, I'm not quite sure what's going on. Morning. Give them a wide berth and try to pick up the pace so they don't catch me. So, I'm trying to read. I'm trying to make it where where it is and not impose my own ideas about language on it. There's a lot of descriptive. There's a lot of the characters looking around the room to see the things that are there. And not necessarily you're having any kind of purpose in looking around the room. It's more of a catalog. It's the kind of thing that when I console authors, it's like, okay, so he sees the desk. What about the desk? What is it? What is it about the desk? He's seen that desk 1,000 times. Every time he comes into the room, he sees that desk. What about it now makes it significant? Seeing the desk isn't significant, because he's seen that desk every time he comes into the room. Looking out the window. Looking out the window is not significant unless, in the process of looking out the window, there's something else happening. There's some emotional response. There's some lost in thought. There's some kind of connection to the psyche. Jimmy Pirano looks out the window all the time. He looks out over the bay. He looks out over his boats. Every time he does it, he's got something on his mind. And he uses the familiar sight as a kind of meditative mantra. But when you look around the room to see there's a desk and a chair and the closet door and the single window and an unmade bed. I mean, the only thing that really might be significant there is the unmade bed. If there's a reason that the bed's unmade. If it's unmade because it's always unmade, then it's not... It's a wasted opportunity. It's a wasted opportunity to take the story forward by having the character consider that the unmade bed is a habit that he wants to break, or is something new that is troubling because for some reason he hasn't been able to make his bed for 2 months, and he always made his bed before, and now he's got this problem and it's distracted him from all the things that make him feel good or something. I don't know. I don't know where that goes, but cataloging what's in the room for the sake of cataloging what's in the room doesn't help you a lot. It's a lost opportunity. Morning. And I usually can spot this because you'll see new writers, you know, I'm having trouble finding the balance between too little and too much description. And the answer is no. You're having trouble understanding that description is action. Description is something that the character is doing. Description is something that the character does. It's not something that the writer does. It's something that the writer records the character doing. And if the character is cataloging his room, unless he's OCD, unless there's some larger rationale for why the character is cataloging his room, what it is an info dump. What it is a wasted opportunity. It was a chance for the character to tell the reader something about himself that the author squandered by getting in the way. And so that's, I don't know, that's just my opinion. I was guilty of it in the beginning, and I've come to realize just how much that matters in terms of telling a story that pulls readers in by bringing them to the character's head, even while the character is doing simple things like going to the bathroom. So anyway, here I am at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.